fiscal 18?
Let's get a vote to approve this.
All right. We have a motion to approve the financial.
I motion to approve the financial report, Steve Burke.
Second?
A second.
Chris Moody.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? No opposition.
So just to frame out a couple of comments, right? Based on the financials and where we sit now, we think we have between 200 and 230 favorable versus the budget on the balance of the year. Of that, the board had committed to some additional incentive for the teachers of about 40,000. So that's gonna leave us with about 140 to 200,000 of pre-spend that we might have to do. And that's taken into account the fact that we'll probably have additional revenues. We do wanna fully fund the 2% reserve. So we're gonna try to carry over 30 to 60. We're recommending that we carry over 30 to 60,000 and that we try to pre-spend the remainder on various things as we've done in the past, like school supplies, instructional supplies, prepaying bus lease. I forget what the other things were.
We have textbooks that we purchased over a two-year period. It was a $30,000 investment in math textbooks that they allowed us to pay half last year, and the other half is due for the upcoming year, but I'd like to prepay that. We have a lease payment that's due on our bus that I'd like to prepay. The amount that Steve mentioned in terms of employee recognition. I want to be a little bit more cautious in terms of additional spending, because the way I report and the way that the audit is done, sometimes last year I thought we had like a $50,000 carryover. It ended up being like $1,300 by the way the accountants did it. So I want to be cautious, because it's important if we're going in for a charter renewal and asking for a 10-year renewal that we have a carryover and not go in there with a negative amount, a pink mark on our report.
Right.
So I'm monitoring it, I'm watching it, and you know, at the end of this month, certainly I'll have a clearer idea of specifically how much carryover I think we're going to have. But meanwhile, I would like to move forward on prepaying some things that I know we're going to have to pay to help relieve some of the anticipated stress on next year's budget.
So what's the total that you think for the prepayment?
Between the personnel expenses and the other two things, it's about 75.
And then the balance would go into the reserves?
There was a question last night about the 2% required, and the question was, is that 2% each year, or is it just 2% flat? And I got a response today from the charter school office. It's a 2% flat, not each year, which I suspected was the answer, because there's no way charter schools could carry 2% over each year. There's no way.
2% of your total money.
So that would be for us. You know, 2% of state and local would have been 150 this year. 100, you know, there's no way that charter schools can do that,
mm-mm,
especially in transitions years like we've been in, or in startup years.
So they're saying at any given time you must have at least 2% in there.
You should budget, and your budget and actual should give you 2% of the current year revenue showing as a reserve.
As a minimum.
Yeah.
And that's part of the rationale for carrying over 30 to 60,000 into next year, so that we are ensuring that from a framework perspective, we're carrying over the appropriate amount. And it leaves the unrestricted funds intact. All
right.
Okay.
Yeah. Just sitting here deciding if I'm
going to
ask a question or not. Just weighing it.
But just let us know when you're ready.
Okay.
Let us know.
In terms of next year's budget, it's the sheet that says FY18 projected revenues at the top, and it has one yellow column on it. The charter school office provides us years ago with an Excel spreadsheet that is a revenue generator. It's used by charter schools who are in startup to try to estimate what their revenue is going to look like from the state and local districts for that year. I use it still each year when I determine, start looking at budget numbers for the upcoming year, and I just go in and I update things like personnel expenses, OECs, and so it's keeping it up to date. So that first column that's closest to the left side of the first column numbers, that was used determined by the revenue generator. The middle column was based on actual per unit amounts that we got this year. Historically, our the money we get in the subsequent year is closer to that figure than it is to the revenue generator figure. The committee last night recommended that I use the average of the two, so that's the yellow column. It's the average of the figures that were generated through the Excel spreadsheet that I got from DOE and the ones that I generated using this year's actual amounts. But it's only for the first line. That's the only one that generator impacts. It's the state revenue. So the rest of the numbers, even though the local comes from that generator, it's not subject to whatever the state's going to do in terms of the budget this year, which is they've been floating a 1.5% decrease, floating that around. So in that scenario, and the page that follows gives you what is being budgeted for salaries, what's being budgeted for OECs, what's being budgeted for travel, contracted services, supplies and materials, etc. The average scenario, which is the yellow column on page one, would mean at this point we would need $132,000 of reserves to balance the budget, which you know I typically bring you very conservative budgets and worst case sort of scenarios, but there's so much uncertainty this year compared to years past. I think that's probably a pretty good idea of what might happen to us next year. This includes four new teachers coming on board. It includes some other personnel decisions that the board made in previous meetings. Mm-hmm.
The four new teachers that we're adding will be high school teachers?
Yes.
As the census gets bigger in high school?
Maybe. Their exact grade levels haven't.
We hire four new teachers, and in all probability, they will be high school teachers. If a determination is made based on the experiences and what these folks bring to the table, we could potentially move some folks. But we haven't had any kind of school conversations about that, other than that's kind of a generalized statement I make. Because we're just now getting down to seeing how many teachers in terms of the kids signing up for classes. So we're just trying to, high school in terms of what you need is much more difficult because it's generated by what kids want as opposed to what kids are gonna have. So we're just in that talking point right now, Alan and Debbie and I. Okay. So that's the long answer to your very short question.
Thank you.
Does this reflect what you were saying earlier about having the carryover and then prepaying? That's not computed into any of this? So that would obviously be helpful.
Now, the expenses that I asked are recommending that we prepay are not included here.
They're not. Mm-hmm. You pulled them out?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So that would obviously help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess we're kind of perpetually in that cycle a little bit, right?
Yeah.
We did this last year.
Yeah.
And that's where I got a little too close. Mm-hmm. And I got the $1,300 or $1,800. Right. I'm like, whoa. So. Yeah.
The difference between the two numbers is, do you know what the difference is between your $50,000 and their $1,300?
This is based on cash basis, and they do theirs on
accrual.
Mostly payroll impact.
And what you turn into the state is on accrual?
The audit report is, this is cash.
What we post on our website is cash basis. cash basis. The audit that I submit to DOE is accrual. But they do it in two ways. So in the audit, there's one that was my number, and then one was the 1,300, the 1,800, whatever it was.
What's in the biggest difference with payroll?
The only kind of comment, again, and this is catching Alan cold, but it wouldn't surprise him. We have four teachers there, and we are in the process of figuring all this out, and we're sure the four teachers will work. What I'm not sure about is if, I think we have some other kinds, we have other needs. It's more than four of them we need, but how we're going to get there, we're not sure yet. Is that a fair statement?
Mm-hmm.
We need more than four, but we don't need more than the next number, maybe, in terms of actual needs.
Five, you mean?
Yeah.
You don't need a whole person?
We need parts of persons in different courses, and that is the problem.
Trying to find that person that can
be. Because we don't need a whole person. We need parts of a person to make up.
Right.
To fill the gaps.
Right, to fill the gaps. Right.
Our average teacher salary is just over 60, plus OECs at 32%. Mm-hmm. We can't bring someone on board that who doesn't have a full teaching load.
Right.
Say that again. Your average teacher salary is 60.
Just over $60,000 plus 30.
What's that? Is that the benefits?
No, that doesn't include the benefits.
Yeah.
30.
So that's 78.
Well, yeah, so you're at, yeah. 80,
plus we have health insurance and some health some all employees' in, health yeah. insurance is over $20,000, and then we have 32% in OECs, other employment costs, pension, Social Security.
So the average is about 100.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the average salary is around 60.
Just over 60, like 60, 750 or something like that.
And then is health insurance in your OEC number?
No.
Okay, so what's the insurance average is what?
Well, I don't know the average. Probably about 15 is a safe number. I'm at 8 for being, you know, just myself on my policy, but a family could be 22, 24.
And what's the OEC percent?
31.45%
of
the salary.
Of the base salary.
Of the salary, yeah.
So not every 2,000 in that.
Which you get when you hire highly qualified people.
One of the charter schools in Wilmington, which is a new school, unlike our school, doesn't have long-time employees who have been in the pension system and are vested. They're not going with the state pension.
Really? Yeah, they can opt out?
They're not sure they can opt out, but they think they can. Mm-hmm. They want to opt out because they think the state pension is onerous for a startup school.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for people like you all, Debbie, and so forth, that have been here more than 10 years, you lose a lot by not being part of the state pension. So we should stay in the state pension, but it is a very expensive proposition for all schools, not just charter schools, but all schools.
Yeah, I mean it is.
Yeah.
You hire a teacher with a master's plus a master's degree in 14 years, and they're coming out of, and you're hiring them because they're top of the line, or you think they're going to be top of the line, and you're not going to offer them Delaware pension, they're going to say, sorry, you're not coming.
Yeah.
And if it was a decision that
they're not having that problem with Wilmington.
Is there an alternative, or is it just no pension?
Oh, there are funding alternatives. Oh, okay. They're doing something instead of the Delaware system.
Okay. The other thing to note about Alan's projection for 18 is that it starts to put us, if you recall the pie graphs where we were low in the salary and people related, it starts putting us into the benchmark of low 70s. The revenue is probably a little conservative, I would guess, for next year, hopefully.
Yeah, because...
So it's probably right around 70, and if you recall, most of the other schools were in the low 70, 73, 74, as a percentage of their total expenditures.
Right. I think I've underestimated what's going to come in terms of miscellaneous deposits, the real big box in the sun where it says 100,000. Because this year we've already brought in 285, and I had thought we'd bring in about 245. But we had a Discover grant, which I don't know whether we're going to get. We had a USDA grant for the furniture for the middle school, which was between the two of those was half of that.
I always like to do this number, taking your revenue estimate of 7.7 or 7.8 million and 750 students, we're still from the state and from the local school districts getting just over $10,000 a student. Do you have a clue how that compares to Sussex Tech, for instance, or Cape and Wilton?
Yeah, Cape is over 17,000 and Tech is probably close to that. Indian River is probably about 15 or 16. Probably the one that would be closest to us but still above us would be Laurel or Seaford, but they probably be 11 to 13 or 11. But still above what we get.
They have additional expenses that we don't have for special needs kids or whatever they whatever
facilities
they have to
too,
do.
I would think,
yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, they get money.
Wouldn't you think facilities as well?
Well, if you add on their capital, you're going to go over 17.
Okay.
In other words, you add on their capital expenditures.
Right.
That way, it's over 17. It's probably closer to 20.
Okay.
Is part of it, this is something I never understood the answer to. Is part of their expense structure payment to the state for the bonds that were issued to build their facility? In other words, are they paying a capital charge like you are for USDA loans?
I don't think they are.
I don't think so.
It's a good question.
So it's just free money for them. The state pays it out of everybody's tax.
That was my impression.
The bonds. Because they issue bonds for when they build a school like Cape and Wilton built, or they're building over here on Route 24.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no capital cost to them as compared to what you're carrying, which is $13.5 million of USDA debt, which is in here as an interest expense.
They have to be paying it to somebody. Because when they go for referendum, they say it's going to increase this amount for this number of years until the school, and then it should come back down.
Debt.
Should come back.
So
yeah,
right.
But it never does.
Right.
That's how they sell it, though.
And about 60%, and it depends on the school district, but about 60% of the money they're getting for capital is from the state. So, and then the other percentage is coming out of what they assess the local tax rate.
That's where the revenue comes from.
Mm-hmm.
The question is really, is there an expense for capital to build a building like we have, like the charter school does? Charter schools don't get any capital up, and we have to borrow the funds or raise it or something.
Right.
I never knew whether this part of the $17 million that our $17,000 a child at Sussex Tech
is a burden
pays for some of their capital costs.
I don't think so. That's a question for business. That's kind of a question.
Next time I talk to Bill, I'll ask him.
Yeah.
Other things that we discussed are in my notes that were there. We either have to vote to approve this month or next, because it has to be approved by June 30th, the preliminary budget.
I move that we accept it. Sounds like a good budget.
Yeah,
you, as usual, very conservatively come to.
Comments, Jen?
Do you think there's going to be
any new
major changes between now and then?
June 30th is when final decisions will be made.
And can't we move to
in the wee hours? In the wee hours of the
yes.
morning.
Yeah,
yeah,
we could move.
This
to
is preliminary.
Yeah.
We just voted on the final budget for this current year in March.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just so that you all know, this does include we got a bid for the student transportation, and it is included in here. So by approving this, you're also approving that bid.
And you're happy with the bid?
Mm-hmm.
You made out all right?
Hmm?
You made out all right with the bid?
So what do you call this report?
We accept the preliminary budget for 2015.
Preliminary budget for 2015. Joe made a motion to approve. Any seconds?
No second. Chris Benjamin.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Unanimously approved.
Foundation update. Unless you were all done, right, Alan?
Yes.
Foundation update, Joe?
We had a meeting yesterday of the foundation, so this is hot news. We had a special, very special guest, Alan Stafford, at our... We don't usually let school guys into the foundation, but this...
2 minutes late, because all the lights on Route 1, every single one was red.
Alan gave us a couple of things. One, what the state of Delaware budgeting problems impact will be on us as a school, so we can be, as a foundation, prepared to assist if we need to. Alan gave us a good report on pool memberships, like we just heard from Maria, so we got some of that yesterday. The big issue for this board is that the school, as you see, looks really good other than the parking and walkways out front, which looks crappy. And some of the swimming pools, which we didn't plan on around the building. But Alan has asked the foundation to provide as much funding as we can to improve to a new layer of asphalt on the walkways and the driveways and the parking area and restripe the parking area. So that we took that up after you left, Alan, and we approved $150,000 of the monies that he has a budget of about $168,000 or thereabouts when you add the two things together. And the foundation is willing to spend $150,000 if Alan can find $18,000 for whatever he needs. We've also encouraged Alan to go out for bids from several other vendors who do the same work that George and Lynch, who's been our contractor around here. George and Lynch has done a really good job for the school, and there's no reason to not give them the work unless they're significantly above and somebody else's bid who will do the same work for lesser money. So Alan, hopefully you got the names from
Jill.
Jill.
Yep.
So that's where that stands. Gina then took over and reported on the gala, the Derby Day events. And Gina, you want to tell everybody what those are, or do you want me to read it?
You have the numbers with you right there.
I do.
Please.
Sussex Gala this year was a $12,000 net revenue to the foundation. The Derby Day was almost $15,000, just short of $15,000 for the foundation. And upcoming will be the race. I don't know how much. That's not a big money raiser. And obviously our biggest money raiser has always been the Dragon Boat. This will be our fifth year. It is September 17th. And we're now not doing as well in signing up boats. This time last year we had 36 boats available, we had 36 boats spoken for. This year we have 36 boats available, but only 19 spoken for.
How many, Gina?
19. So the concern is not that the economy is going poorly and businesses can't afford it, because it's just the opposite, I think, for the most part. It's maybe this is getting to be an old event. People have been there. They found that they had trouble getting enough rowers for their company, so they're recruiting Tom, Dick, and Harry to join them. And that has been happening with more frequency. So we're losing some of the enthusiasm for the Dragon Boat event. And one of the issues that we really briefly talked about is how do we rejuvenate it? One of the ways is, and one of the interesting things is, I think, from a Western Sussex point of view, is if there's a way to do it on the Nanticoke River as it goes through Seaford, move it over there and get Western Sussex more involved. I don't think it would be as big an event for us, but I still think it's new. We take it away from Lewis for a year. Maybe when we go back to Lewis in 2 years, it'll be fresh again. So we're going to play with this. We do have a new co-sponsor of the event. That's the Lewis Public Library, which is going to help us with the upfront expenses, help the foundation with the upfront expenses. And they will also benefit from any net income that's generated from this. So they're going to pay 20% of the upfront and get 20% of the back end for helping us and providing volunteers, which we need. we need to get, the school needs to get more involved in this event. It's a benefit for the school indirectly through the foundation, but we're losing the volunteer help that we had in early years, so we're going to have to get a challenge going between the classes or something and the parents of the kids to get back involved and have a better turnout for volunteers.
How do people learn about the event, Joe? I mean, is there a lot of marketing around it, or is it going back out to the historical participants?
Gina?
It goes to all the previous participants. This year we did do press on it to open it up. We're not allowed to advertise except for in the Cape Gazette. So it is what we put on the Facebook page, the event Facebook page, that type of thing, and then local calendars of events. It's a city, upon approval of it, the city didn't want us advertising outside of the Cape Gazette.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Turning next to scholarships and awards that the foundation is going to give to our senior class or members of our senior class. We voted as a foundation a couple months ago that we wanted to recognize this senior class as being trailblazers. Sticking with us, going from eighth grade to ninth grade 4 years ago was a hell of a lot harder decision then than doing it today, as evidenced by our numbers. So we're going to give each one of the graduating seniors
five. Are you going to tell the amount now?
I guess not. I was planning to, but I won't.
We got too, he got too close. It's one of two numbers.
I'm not trying to rain on your parade. I just wonder if it would be.
You don't trust the board?
No, I do trust the board, but I got more than the board sitting here, and I've got a microphone going. It's just a question.
We will make a gift.
My question is if you want to surprise the kids on the night of the dinner. That is my question. It's not a statement. It's my question.
That's a good point.
I think it's a good point. We will provide a gift card of some amount, very small, very small, not even worth mentioning.
A nominal gift.
We also have put together funding, much like this board did, for a foundation award to two seniors, one male, one female, who exhibit commitment to their academics, but primarily leadership in the school. They're the ones out front. We saw some of them standing up here a few minutes ago. And there are others in the school. Those awards will be given at senior night, as will the amount of the Trailblazer Award. So I recommend that, in stronger words than Trish did, for all of you to be there for senior night, because it's a night where we're honoring the senior class. Commencement's about something else, but this is about telling the seniors how much they mean to us, so I think I'd love to have as many board members from the foundation and from the school board here, there. So please attend if you can.
How are you guys making that decision, Joe?
What decision?
On who's getting the male and the female awards?
The high school teachers or faculties are voting for it.
Gotcha.
So it's meant to be a high school award, not from sixth grade on, but ninth through 12th.
I have a committee scheduled to meet tomorrow afternoon. Who's gonna?
You make that decision. So I won't tell you the amount of it. Did I already say the amount yet?
No.
Oh no. You know the amount, but nobody else does. So don't say it. We're keeping everything secret.
What's happening with ours?
So I put them in an envelope and passed them along to Denise, and she's gonna take it from there.
Oh, cool. So those were kids that applied.
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
There were 10 students who applied for the board scholarship, which is over a fourth of the class.
And we have to decide that,
soon.
Because it's great.
Like soon.
Huh. Okay, can I go on? I want to give you a financial update for the foundation. This is a very big number relative to what you expect, but we have some big expenses coming. So I'm going to give you the gross number and then the net number. We have a little over $2.75 million in the bank. We still have about $432,000 of expenditures for the Nest and a few other miscellaneous items. We have about, in my view, about another $400,000 that we don't have bills for yet, but we know they're coming for landscaping, the repaving that we just talked about. So at the end of our school year, June 30, I would expect that most of these bills will be paid, and we will still have about $1.8 million in the bank. So the foundation is very healthy and anxious to do what we can to continue to support the school. We are going to try to be healthier by going back to some of our big foundations in Wilmington for additional assistance. It's going to be very difficult to convince them to give us money when we are honest with them and say, well, we got $1.8 million in the bank, but we really need a lot more. But we're going to try anyway, because we have some loans that we need to pay back that are greater than $1.8 million. So that's an issue for us to try to communicate properly to them so they understand it. But we're hopeful that we can raise another million or two from our foundation help that we've had in the past this fall. That won't happen until the fall.
The loans you're referring to, are the school's loans or the foundation's loans, or both?
Foundation loans. School loans are 40 years or 37 okay. years now. So you have to pay principal every year, but it's just like a mortgage. Just a little bit of principal and a lot of interest. And then down the line, it changes. There'll be more interest and less principal. These loans are due at the end of this year, but I think we could probably convince the lender to extend them if we don't have the money to pay him back at that time. And that's one other thing. There was a report made by Mike Raw at the meeting. Mike is the vice chair, and as you all know, he's our major fundraiser consultant for a summer confab, something, I can't remember what you said, summer something.
Summer program.
Summer school. that somebody runs, and they want to use our facility to do it. It sounds like a great idea, so the foundation was impressed with what might be a use for this school in the summertime beyond what you're already doing with it for a summer learning program for middle schoolers. This is not for high schoolers, it's for middle schoolers. So anything we can do during the summer to keep people's learning in June still consistent in September so they haven't forgotten everything in any way and encourage people to attend. This wasn't necessarily for slow learners, I don't think. I think it was for people who want to dedicate some of their summer to staying up to speed with their studies. And that's my report. I'll do the rest
Thank
of the building.
Thank you for your
support.
Committee reports. No.
Is there any committee that would like to make a report today?
I want to talk a little bit about Building and Grounds.
Right, Building and Grounds it is.
Everybody sees what's going on outside now. It's hard to see because it's incremental rather than a big new building or big new wing. But the nest in the back is due to be finished by the end of June, which is a disappointment because I thought it was going to be the end of May and we'd be all ready to show it off to people that are going to be here for graduation. That's not going to happen. But hopefully the site will be cleaned up so it doesn't look like a construction site. We are putting landscaping around this building, around the aquatic center, and only along the walkways that go out to the nest and to the two athletic fields on the right, the synthetic turf fields, and the two on the left, the grass fields, which we will be making increasing use of as we go forward here. We're also messing with the irrigation to make sure we have a good irrigation system for the school, which has had a poor one out front, and everything in the back. And that's about it. And when we get around to repaving, which will be obviously this summer when there's no traffic around, if Alan can raise $18,000, we'll put up the $150,000, or we can get a better bid, and we'll still put up the $150,000 to redo this paving and so forth. So those are the things that are going to be going on.
I'd like to say that we are so spoiled, because I attended two lacrosse games this week at places that have no turf and have no stands and no clocks and no scoreboard.